Hello, and welcome to the Joshua Matto Show, where we empower the next generation of software engineers who innovate, strategize, and shape the future of technology. I'm Joshua Matos, your personal software engineer. Today, I have a very special guest. He's one of the world's first software engineers in a highly specialized program in the Department of Defense, leading the charge in integrating agile software engineering throughout the DoD. He has taught Java at Columbia University in the city of New York, and serves as a professor at the Austin Community College right down in Central Austin. He has also dedicated himself to charity work by teaching software engineering at a local women's prison, as well as many other contributions to society. He is an educator, tech lead, and premier software engineer dedicated to transforming the way you see software and inspiring new developers. He is now doing great work in Germany, pioneering software development over there for the DoD. And with that, I'd like to welcome Anand Shah. So what can you tell us about what started your journey as a software engineer? And you know, why did you choose the path you did?
Yeah, great question. I actually started when I was in college. My first 2 years of college, I was planning to study math. And I took a calculus course and I discovered that it was much, much more difficult than I expected. I didn't enjoy doing proofs, for example. And I wanted to try and branch out into something new. So statistics came to mind at first, and that seemed kind of like a more concrete science, a kind of quantifiable, achievable way of doing something where it applied the skills that I enjoyed and the logic side of things that I enjoyed about math and didn't involve so many proofs. And as part of that track, there was an intro to Java course that was an option. I took that class and I loved it. It was truly transformative because it was kind of a blend of all of the things that I was looking for with statistics and with math, but it gave me a way to kind of apply it in a new approach with new languages. And I learned a concrete new skill that I really enjoyed. And I took that Java class. And then the next class was data structures, which really just reinforced what I kind of already had in mind. And a big part of it was that the teaching was excellent. And what I mean by that is when I would get stuck on things, I could go to office hours, I could approach a TA who could kind of explain it to me in layman's terms. So for example, learning about what an array is, they would say, oh, it's a bookshelf. It's fixed. It's a fixed size. We're learning about an array list, for example. It's like a library. You can extend it. You can build new wings. And it takes a little bit of effort and a little bit of kind of work to make it do that stuff. But it is able to be kind of extendable and collapsible. And so little things like that, where somebody explaining it to me in kind of that plain and simple English really made it click. And so that's how I got into computer science in college. I finished my degree and I studied focused on cybersecurity because I was planning to be a cyber officer in the Army. Plans changed a little bit. I ended up being able to join the software engineering field, and that's kind of how it started.
So now you're one of the very first software engineers and what essentially is a startup in the DoD. What has that been like?
It's been both great and a little bit challenging. I think part of the effort right now is that we're building the airplane as we fly it. And it's almost like joining any startup where you have your growing pains, you wear a lot of hats, and you have to try and figure out a lot of things for the first time. So my kind of focus has always been to just write code and help people. And those are kind of the two North Stars that I try to keep. But when you're doing something for the first time like this, it also involves stuff like keeping really good documentation and learning how to break through bureaucracy. And that can sometimes get in the way of those two kind of priorities that I had in my mind. But in the Army so far, I'm really fortunate to have been given the opportunity. It's very non-traditional for someone like me to be able to have the ability to go and, you know, have a MacBook even, right? And that's something that was kind of brand new, kind of groundbreaking, being able to wear civilian clothes to work. Little things like that are brand new. And I'm grateful that the Army is willing to try out kind of these tech best practices and try and learn how standups work and being able to learn kind of what the rhythm of an actual tech startup looks like and try and use that and kind of grow that within the Army environment. So I'm happy for those opportunities, a little bit less happy about the bureaucracy and the this is how it's done that we keep encountering. But overall,
You seem to have a passion for teaching, and you've taught in New York, and you're a professor at Austin Community College. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and how you're balancing that with your career?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was in college, I started tutoring part-time, kind of on the side, and I was mostly a tutor for math and economics. And then towards my senior year, I started to get more into computer science and get to be kind of a peer tutor for other students that were working through the curriculum. And in my senior year, I was a TA for that Intro to Java class that really kind of changed my view and got me into computer science in the first place. And it kind of felt like a little full circle moment, going from someone who switched computer science majors so late to being able to kind of give back to folks who were trying to get into it for the first time. I think that is when it became a priority to me to continue teaching and try and find opportunities going forward as well. And so I continued to tutor kind of on the side, part-time, mostly AP computer science, a little bit of AP calculus. And I wanted to try and find where this could become a career or how it could mesh with being a software engineer. And I found the opportunity in Austin when I was at work, actually, and I just kind of bumped into one of the computer science faculty there. And I just chatted with him a little bit about his career. His name is Mr. Fred Lover. If anybody's interested, he's a really cool guy, has a lot of good feedback that he can offer and good advice. And I had asked him, I was like, how did you get into this career? What would you suggest? How can I prepare myself? At that moment, I was almost done with my master's degree, which I was working on kind of nights and weekends. And he said, well, adjunct faculty is a very like needed thing here in Austin Community College because the audience and the students are usually people who are working full time, that's taking night classes or they're taking asynchronous classes. And so adjunct faculty are really what drives that. And you'd have your normal faculty kind of leading the bulk of the instruction, but adjunct faculty is what kind of makes a full picture for a community college in particular. And so he mentioned that there's job postings for it. He would let me know if anything popped up. I had to follow up with him 3-4 months later just to be like, hey, sir, I remember you mentioned that this was a possibility, anything open? And he sent me a job posting. And that's how I got into it. My first course that I taught was Intro to Computing, which was actually more of how to use computers and things like Microsoft Word, PowerPoint, Excel, usually for students who kind of hadn't really gotten into the digital world at all. So that was a good experience just to get kind of the muscle memory of what teaching looks like and what asynchronous teaching looks like. And then this semester, I'm actually teaching Intro to Programming, which is more Python and teaching actual computing data structures and how to do, for example, for loops and if statements, et cetera.
Wow, that's great. You have a lot of knowledge that aspiring software engineers would love to know. How could someone who wanted to become a software engineer get into it? Are there lessons you learned that could help them?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just know things. And this will kind of help you just get street cred, especially when you're starting a job for the first time. Even if you're not super comfortable, familiar, having kind of the cursory understanding and kind of a wide breadth of information and in your toolkit will help you. So for example, having a little bit of familiarity with Java, but also with Python and being able to kind of understand that, okay, a for loop looks like this in Java, but it behaves like this in Python. And you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to have it kind of memorized. But I think little things like that will help you remain competitive and will help you have a conversation with any expert in the field. And what helped me at least was having a mentor, having really strong folks that would be there to kind of guide me through the more challenging parts, especially early on in my career. So I called him like my Master Yoda, but he was basically a pair that worked with me on everyday problems. And his patience and his ability to kind of explain things to me really helped. So finding a mentor is definitely something that I would suggest. Even if it's somebody that can kind of walk you through a difficult leet code or can explain what an array list is to you, having somebody like that is really helpful. And now with AI tools, a lot of that stuff is more accessible. You can ask ChatGPT to explain an array list in layman's terms. that's an interesting thing as well. So I would recommend using those, trying to ask questions and make things broken down into ways that you can understand a little more easily.
All right. I would consider myself heavily into math, or at least I used to be. Do you think I need to have a math degree to get started as a software engineer?
Absolutely not. I think, in fact, my computer science education and even the master's degree was a little bit of over-education for software engineering in particular. If anything, I wanted to study those things so that I could go into teaching. Math, I would also say, don't really need it. Understanding a little bit of logic and logic structures and understanding if this, then that is kind of one of the core parts of things. And being able to break down more complicated things, like, for example, how utility payments work, and being able to understand that, okay, you know, if it's the middle of the day, then I'm going to get charged more. And if it's nighttime, I'm going to get charged less. Little problems like that, if that kind of stuff makes sense to you, tax brackets, for example, doesn't really make sense to anybody, but at least understanding the concept of, like, you know, there are different criteria for different use cases. Having the ability to kind of comprehend those things helps out. And so it's almost like a baseline understanding, and then just being able to lay some technical skills on top of that. And so I would say, try and take an intro to programming course. Try and learn a little bit about Java or Python and use those to try and put, code to these logical constructs that you probably already have in your head. And that will help you kind of break into software engineering. And then beyond that, it's just muscle memory, a lot of practice. Code Wars is a great website. Leet Code, another one, where you can get practice just doing these things and kind of get to the point where you're like, oh yeah, I've seen this before. I know to use a for loop here because I need to run it 6 times, or I need to use a while loop because I don't know how many times I need to run this. So little things like that are really useful tools to have and doesn't require formal education at all. So at that point, I would say it's really approachable field to anybody.
Yeah, I totally agree. People sometimes get scared off thinking you need a computer science degree. And really, it's about solving complex problems. It's really a key skill. And if you have that, the rest can be learned. What other skill sets do you think are needed other than problem solving?
Yeah, I think there's a couple. One of them is the ability to kind of be a quick thinker, but also know when to look out for help or reach out, for example, to the internet and kind of just say, I don't know, let me get back to you. So kind of that self-awareness. I would say that's more of like a character trait than a skill. As far as skills go, logical reasoning is probably one of the biggest ones. And the ability to break down complex problem sets into smaller ones and work from there. Another one would be time management. I think this is one that software engineers in particular struggle with sometimes, is being able to say, okay, I'm going to code, I'm going to work on this problem for 20 minutes, and then I need a 5-minute break. And being able to kind of Pomodoro yourself, that's a method that I think helps a lot to kind of scaffold early on, is let's make sure that we're, you know, taking a break, because it's so easy to just dive into a problem and spend 3 hours on it. And, you know, you make as much progress as you would have made within a fresh 30 minutes. So little things like that are useful. And beyond that, I think communication skills can help. And it is something that is useful to have, especially for an interview and to get you onto a team. And especially if it's a team that has these frequent meetings and standups and stuff like that. So that is something that can help. Being able to talk about your code can help. And being able to explain to somebody, like, you know, I wrote it this way because it behaves this way, or because this limiting factor made me do it this way. Those are all useful, especially for the job market, and being able to kind of wrap your technical knowledge with that business expertise and acumen that you might need there.
Yeah, software development is definitely multifaceted. People new to the field are worried about AI, things like ChatGPT, GitHub Copilot. Do you think that people should still get into software engineering?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for the most part, yes, still get into it. AIs are really bad at styling right now. So if you have a good little front end kind of ability, then that's useful. And having an eye for design is something that AI is not quite there yet on. But even more practically, AI is right now, I think, an enabler. And I think it's something that will kind of just multiply your effect and be kind of that enzyme that helps you code better, a little bit more efficient, look up questions faster. And a lot of it comes down to you having an ability to see a big picture and say that, you know, I need this method with, you know, a for loop that runs three times in this file, and I need an if statement in another file. And you having that kind of big picture perspective and being able to glue together those things, that's what's needed. And that's where AI is not quite there yet. And I don't know if it will get there. Right now, AI can write the for loop and it can write the if statements, but being able to kind of architect on a little bit more of a meta level is something that's not quite there on yet. And then front end styling, of course. But for the most part, I think being understanding of and aware of and knowing how to use AI as an enabler will be kind of the difference maker. And it will be something that makes you more productive, more competitive, and more useful to any team that you might join.
All right. So now my favorite segment, Queries Decoded, where we answer questions from the audience. Our first question is from Israel. He asks, I'm currently a CS student, almost set to graduate. Any advice on how to go about getting a job or dealing with the worry that I might not be able to get one or be the most eligible candidate coding-wise?
Yeah. It's also a question that I'm sure everybody has, especially coming out of college. I know it's one that I had. I think there's a couple of things that you can do that are concrete. One of them would be try and get a certification under your belt. Something like Security Plus will help you stand out, especially at the entry-level phase where you're kind of competing against a bunch of fresh engineers. It'll kind of put you a little bit different. It is a certification that can be really useful later on in your career, but if you have the time and ability to study for it now, that would be something that's really interesting. Another one that's a little bit more concrete is read. And I would say one book you can start with is Clean Code by Robert Martin. That one is one that teaches you a lot of these concrete skills that you learn. It at least exposes you to the concrete skills that take 10, 15 years to learn. And being able to kind of cite the book in an interview or being able to say, oh yeah, I heard about this principle and this is why I named my variable this way, is something that will kind of help you stand out a little bit, especially when you don't have years of experience to lean on. Having a little bit of kind of specific knowledge will help you set yourself apart. So those are two skills that I would say are useful. And then beyond that, I'm sure you know about this one, but for your coding interviews, being really good and comfortable with your data structures and specific language that you're going to use for your interviews, LeetCode is always going to be helpful preparing yourself for that. But there's other ways that you can do it. For example, you could get better at writing pseudocode for problems that you see kind of here and there and being able to kind of break down bigger problems quickly. Learning about architecture is another one. So if you just Google like Amazon architecture diagram, then you might find things where people have broken down little segments of Amazon and you can kind of learn especially about how those big companies are managing their little sectors. And it'll help you set yourself apart for an interview where you need to be able to explain like where you might fit into a big corporation, et cetera.
Yes, that's a great answer. All right, so next one. We have one from Drew in Boston. As someone starting out with Java, I'm curious, what concept should I focus on first?
Hello, Drew, and welcome to the world of Java. It's an interesting one, I think. You'll have a bit of a love-hate relationship with it, just like I do. So a couple of things to focus on. The data structures in Java are pretty wide and can be a little bit overwhelming. You'll probably see in most of your college courses, if you're going to take college courses or if not, you'll see in most data structures courses that cover a little bit of high-level specific data structures that are kind of most commonly used. So being able to understand why to use a certain data structure in a certain scenario is really useful. So for example, being able to understand what a map is and why you would use it versus a list or an array list is something that probably will help you later on in your career. And being able to understand what a stack is another interesting one. where it's not so commonly used, but it is something that you might see on a coding interview, for example. But I think being able to understand that and why certain times call for certain measures in Java are useful. Beyond that, I think understanding the idea of hierarchy and, for example, class inheritance is going to be really useful. So being able to understand, like, for example, you could have a Java class for an animal, and then you could have an extension of that or an inherited class for a dog, and then another one for a cat. So a lot of those things, they will be shared, but a few of those things will also be different. Being able to almost kind of just draw out like a little tree diagram of things like that would be really useful. And that's one of the things that, at least when I was teaching Java, I would see people struggle with a lot, is like, why would I override a method, or why would I, you know, inherit from a certain superclass, etc. So that's something that I think would be good to kind of focus, double down on there.
All right, that's a great answer. Yeah, I like that one. I have one from Casey. I think you'll like this one. I know the answer to it already. And so they say they watch one of the Kotlin videos, and they want to know, is Kotlin better than Java and why?
All right. Hey, Casey, that's a great question. I would say yes. I love Kotlin. Josh knows this. Basically, I think Kotlin takes a lot of the perks of Python and the kind of friendliness and ease of use of Python, and it adds it to Java. One example that I like to bring to people is that in Java, if you want to add two lists together, it is a list.concat, whereas in Kotlin, it's just a plus sign. Little things like that, where you have these kind of convenience things, are really useful. In Java, you'll see a lot of streams when people are trying to go through a list and do something to everything of the list. Kotlin has maps, which are a little bit easier to use, and you'll see it can be a little bit easier to understand and read that code, especially for people who may not have Java experience, which I think was really useful for me when, for example, I would bring someone new onto the team. I would always find it that they had an easier time with Kotlin than they did with Java. So that's where I think it's useful. Beyond that, the backwards compatibility of it, it is still built on the same kind of underlying mechanism as Java, the JVM. And so the fact that it's able to run in many environments that Java is able to run in makes it kind of versatile. And I think makes it the future. I hope makes it the future. Let's see though.
All right, let's take a couple more. Liam asks, how important is it for someone new to the field to understand software development methodologies and design principles early on, especially if I want to be in a leadership role eventually?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say early on, knowing those things, is it the most critical? Right now, early on in your career, I would say just getting good at coding is probably the thing you want to focus on the most. But that's not to say it's one or the other, right? You can still learn about these things, and it is still useful to have kind of that knowledge under your belt, especially early on, because then you don't have to have the what are they talking about moments. You can be like, oh, yes, you know, I know some of these words. And I think one of the things that you can learn early is the 12 factor app. I think it's 12factor.net. That's a really good thing that you can bring up. And especially if you can digest those principles, then that sets you up for success pretty much anywhere that you would go, where you might need to build an app that you have to hand off to somebody else, or you need to deploy into multiple environments. Understanding a little bit of cloud architecture. So for me, for example, I'm studying for my CCAD right now. That's the Certified Kubernetes Application Developer. And that's one that helps me understand where my app is going and what it might need, what might be pitfalls with the platform that it's going to be running on. And again, these are not things that you need that I needed 3 years ago when I started my career, but now it's something that I could see myself using as I want to take a leadership role, or I want to be in the kind of architecture side of things. If you want to be kind of the solutionizer that helps plan these efforts out, then having that will definitely help. But I think you will learn a lot of it on the job. So I wouldn't stress about it early on. Again, I would say just focus on getting good at writing code.
Cool. All right. Let's do Kev from Detroit. He says he's worried about AI ruining his chances of getting into the field. Also, what other resources are there for me to learn Java?
Yeah, great questions. I think it's, again, something that a lot of us worry about. Can AI eventually replace us? Probably not in all things. maybe in some, hopefully in a lot of the kind of menial tasks that software engineers have to do day to day. I think, again, it is a catalyst. It's something that will help you make a bigger impact with your job. And if anything, it's an enhancer of your knowledge and your resources that you have available. So the best way is to just learn about it and learn how to use it to your best of your ability, but also kind of be skeptical of it. Like ChatGPT will give you wrong answers quite often. There's plenty of times where I'll hit the little copilot completion and it's like, what did you just write? And being able to decipher that is useful, and that will help you kind of separate the good from the bad and be able to be a kind of scrupulous user of the AI. And then resources for learning Java. I think the best thing you can do is practice. And I think a lot of it comes with perhaps doing a code along. And so, you know, watching Josh's videos, sometimes I really am like, I want to just turn on my computer, turn on my IDE, pause his videos and try and catch up and try and do it on my own. That's one way to do it. Another way is a more formal course. I've also learned that having deadlines is useful to me because it kind of forces me to have something done by a certain time. So CS50 is a really common one that people like to do. That's an easy one to kind of sign up for. I think it's free to take. And there are other MOOCs out there. Those are massive online. They're online courses, MOOCs, that you can take and learn and be able to kind of have a little bit of a scaffold of, I need to do this by this time. And having that is useful. And then lastly is have a buddy, somebody who's there, maybe doing it with you. Maybe it's just your mom that's kind of keeping you honest and making sure that you did your Java practice today. Little things like that can help. And so I would say the best thing you can do is just give it a shot and set yourself a tangible goal. Say, you know, I want to be able to finish this by 45 days from now. And I think that will be the best way to set yourself up for success.
All right. That's all the time we have for the audience questions today. Thanks for sending those in, folks. And a massive thanks to our guest for sharing his wisdom, Anand Shah.
Yeah, thanks, Josh. Thanks for the opportunity. If anybody wants to reach out, I am on LinkedIn. I'm sure Josh will put my name in the description. Just look me up. I think I'm one of three, maybe. So hopefully you can find me. Thanks, guys.
All right, I'll catch you guys on the next.